In Mark Twain's novel, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Huck is constantly getting into some kind of trouble. And after one particular mess, his guardian, Miss Watson, takes him into the closet of his room to pray, and she is hoping that God can straighten him out, since clearly she is not having any luck. Huck says, "Miss Watson told me to pray every day, and whatever I asked for, I would get it. But it weren't so. I tried it. Once I got a fishing line, but no hooks. It weren't any good to me without hooks. I tried for the hooks 3 or 4 times, but somehow I couldn't make it work." So Huck gave up on praying, say, "There ain't nothing in it." We might not be as honest as Huckleberry Finn, but we've probably all had the experience of praying and not getting the answer that we wanted. We may pray with all the obnoxiousness we can muster and still not get the answer we'd hoped for. And as much as we want to pay attention to what Jesus said, that we should always pray and that we should not lose heart, it can be difficult to keep at it with a sense of enthusiasm when it feels like your prayers aren't getting the response that you're hoping for, especially when you're praying about something that's far more important than fish hooks. Our gospel for today is one of those conversations Jesus had while he was on the road with his disciples, and he had been teaching them about discipleship and about what it meant to be faithful. And then they ran into this group of lepers who asked Jesus to heal them, and he healed all 10, but only one came back. And then, the very next thing, some Pharisees asked Jesus when God's kingdom would come. He told them that God's kingdom isn't something you can see, so there's no use saying, "Look, here it is," or "Look, there it is." God's kingdom is here with you. And then he said to the disciples, "The time will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, when you will want to see the fulfillment of God's kingdom. And people will tell you to look for the Messiah in one place or another, but don't go looking. That day will be like lightning flashing across the sky." And he says, "It will be like the days when Noah built the ark or when Sodom was destroyed. It will be a huge surprise, and you won't know it's coming until it's there." Jesus said, "At that time, no one on a rooftop should go down into the house to get anything, and no one in a field should go back to the house for anything. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. People who try to save their lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives will save them. On that night, 2 people will be sleeping in the same bed, but only one will be taken. The other will be left. 2 women will be together grinding wheat, but only one will be taken. The other will be left." And then Jesus' disciples spoke up and they said, "But where will this happen, Lord?" And then, I think this is funny, Jesus said, "Where there is a corpse, there will always be buzzards." I've seen some of those since I moved out here, you know? When you see them, you know something's happening. And then, Jesus says this goofy comment about the buzzards, and then he tells them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart. Now, I know I probably say this much too often, but it can be so helpful to understand a story or a parable or a quote if you look at the context of where it comes from. If you don't know the lead up to this particular story and what Jesus was saying about prayer, it can be really disheartening. The Pharisees and the disciples both wanted to know about the end times, when God would judge his people and what would happen, and they were curious about when and where and how. And Jesus didn't want his friends to give up, because the time was going to come when he would leave them and they would want him to return, and it wouldn't happen on the timetable they were expecting. He wanted them to understand that even when things seem terribly uncertain, God is listening and will always be just. Even if it seems like a really long time until he returns, Jesus will keep his promises. So he wanted us all to know that we shouldn't give up. We should trust God at his word. And to make his point, he tells them the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. At first glance, it may seem like we don't know anything about this woman. In the story, all it says is that she's a widow, but that really tells us everything that we need to know about her. Widows in that time and place were as helpless can be. They weren't allowed to inherit their husband's estate. They couldn't work for a living. Their lives were completely dependent on someone else agreeing to take care of them. Jewish law said if there was no one there to take care of a widow, the community was responsible. And there is a warning that says that anyone who fails to take care of a widow will be cursed. The trouble was, this judge didn't care about God, and he didn't care about the law, and he didn't care about this widow, and he didn't feel guilty about any of it. He had no sense of compassion. There was nothing motivating him to listen to this woman. She had no power, and so he could ignore her for as long as he wanted. He didn't give a hoot about anybody but himself, but her persistence and her demands for justice were so intense, so bothersome and annoying that he describes her actions as those of a boxer. It doesn't come through in the English, but when you look at the original Greek, it says, "Because this widow causes trouble for me, I will give her justice so that she may not in the end give me a black eye by her coming." By using the verb hypopiazzo, which means to give somebody a black eye, Luke characterizes the widow as being this tough cookie who is a definite troublemaker. She is nobody's sweet little grandma. She is a feisty woman who isn't about to throw in the towel. Scholar Brittany Wilson says that we are probably meant to laugh at this topsy-turvy picture of a lowly widow pummeling this recalcitrant arbiter of justice. But as New Testament scholar F. Scott Spencer rightly recognizes, the humor in this scene is not one of comic relief. Jesus' parable is meant to encourage us to laugh at those who wield their power unethically. We laugh, though, in order to challenge such figures and ultimately to offer a different way. We laugh because we know their power really isn't that powerful. Jesus said, "Listen to what this wicked man is saying. And if he is willing to back down and to listen to this woman and to grant her the justice she asks for, how much more readily will God have compassion for those who are praying to him both night and day? He will hear their case. He will grant them justice." And that is an important distinction. He will grant them justice. Jesus' parable is about prayer, but it is also about a certain kind of prayer. It is a prayer for fairness and equity and a prayer for justice. Without all of the context that goes around all of that about prayer, this could be an utterly frustrating parable. We earnestly and we sincerely pray, and we ask God to help someone we love or to have mercy on someone who is suffering. We pray for peace between nations and peace between people. We ask for guidance and assurance. We hope and we wait, but then the request that we have made seems to go unanswered. Or we feel like the answer wasn't really what we were hoping for. We call on God in prayer every Sunday, praying for members of our community. And some of them get better, and some of them don't. And so it can be almost impossible not to start questioning the results of our prayers. Were we not fervent enough? Did we need to pray more often? Or do we need to have more people praying? It can be heartbreaking to feel so strongly about something and think God must be in agreement with us. God must want this suffering to end. God must want this thing to change, that this person to be cared about. I can't be the only one who cares about them. It's not fair. Why didn't God do what we asked for, especially when something horrid is happening to someone that we love very much? It's not fair. But as my mother has told me hundreds of times, life is not fair. Which is really good news for today. That's the gospel for the day. Life is not fair. If life was fair, God would judge us for who we are, and we would come up short every single time. We are sinful. We do what we want. We leave off doing stuff we know we ought to be doing. We aren't the people always that God wants us to be. And if life was fair, we would never know the grace of God. We wouldn't experience the love and the forgiveness that God offers to us because we haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. We would be facing eternal damnation. All of the powers of death would be against us. We would be looking towards separation from God, and we would be doomed if life was fair. Our text today says that the woman was seeking justice against her enemy, and she persists in bothering the judge day after day until he finally relents and agrees to hear her case, and he grants her the justice that she deserves. And Jesus says, if someone so cruel can do the right thing, won't God? Don't be afraid that God isn't looking and listening and watching out for you. But when the Son of Man returns, will he find anyone who believes? Who has faith in God's promises? Wilson also says that by ending the parable with a question, Jesus raises more questions for us. How should followers not lose heart and maintain their faith in the light of the fact that it has been 2,000 years and Jesus still hasn't come back? How are we to act if God's justice is not delivered according to our timetable? How do we go on in the face of injustice if God's ultimate justice only is going to suddenly arrive at Jesus' return? In response to those questions, Luke maintains that we are to act like the widow. We are not to wait quietly for Jesus' return and accept our fates in an oppression-ridden world. We are instead to resist injustice with the resolve and the constancy of that widow. And as Jesus explains elsewhere, prayer is not a passive activity, but it is one that actively seeks God and pursues God's will. Like the widow, we are to persevere in the faith, crying out to God day and night, because that's what persistent prayer looks like. A man once said, "What did you gain by regularly praying to God?" And the man replied, "Nothing. Let me tell you, though, what I lost. I lost anger, greed, insecurity, and fear." We pray to God to deal with the things in the world that concern us, in the big world and in the small world that is our daily lives. And Jesus says, keep at it, keep praying. And life isn't fair. And sometimes the things that we hope for, the way the world is set up, they don't happen the way we would want. And our prayers aren't unanswered, but the answer we get isn't the one we'd hoped for. At the end, though, the justice that we will experience will far exceed our expectations, that what God has prepared for us at the end of this complicated life is far better than anything that we can imagine. For me, there are times when my prayers feel so difficult because I pray for something and I pray for someone, I pray for you all, and I wish things would go this way and they go that way. But we aren't to give up. We are to remember that God is with us. I had a friend, a pastor friend that I worked with, and he said that church is about leaning into the middle, that when life is hard and you feel like you're gonna fall, if you lean into the middle, you can hold each other up. And I think that that's true, but also we need to remember that in the middle of that is the cross of Christ. We lean to the middle, and we pray for those that we love, and we pray for justice in the world, and as we're leaning in, God is there supporting us, and so that our prayer becomes a companionship. God is there to listen, and God is there to help us deal with the things that happen, and sometimes we may not get healing for someone we love, but we get bravery to deal with the difficulties. We get strength to deal with those things that make us weary. We lean into the middle, and so we do not lose heart, but keep praying. God is listening to your prayers, and life is not fair, and so one day we will celebrate this good news in the kingdom of God.